I preached a message one time at a pastor's conference about opening up the hands and dropping the stones. And if you look up John chapter 8, you'll understand what I was preaching about. Confession is good. It's not confessing your sins to a person so they can forgive your sins. Only Christ can do that. John chapter 3, verse 17. I know you all know verse 16. Who can quote John 17, 3:17? For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I have nothing in mind of condemnation this morning. Please understand that. But I'm going to share some things with you happening in our country, supported by politicians, that is totally anti-Bible. How many has ever picked up there could be a bias in America toward Christians? Anybody ever? Yeah, you're just... Do we got to stand and do some jumping jacks? Take a lap around the church? Building falls down, we get a new one? Start marching, Kathy. I'd like to share some words from the Lord. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Have you stopped condemning yourselves? Have you stopped beating yourselves up? Have you start realizing that, hey, I'm okay with God? How many think you're okay with God? How many are going to wait till heaven to find out? But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Listen to this verdict now. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. I don't usually look at these too much, but today I am. And what I'm saying is no way saying I give up hope on America. Please understand that. But I would like to see some changes in America. There's hope for America. And keep in mind we're under grace, so God's not pouring out judgment all over America. I love the way you're shouting. But it will come at some point. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish.
That's right.
I know if you're looking for judgment, you're thinking, yeah, God's just giving us enough rope to hang ourselves. If you're looking for a revival, you're saying, yeah, God's giving enough time for people to repent. And both attitudes are in the church. But the darkness is not only trying to invade America, it's trying to overrun America, and it's trying to take control of America. And I want to tell you something, our denominational churches have been no hindrance to it. I just sat last night when I came to church for a while and just started writing some things down, and just bear with me. There is a built-in right now hatred for Christ and Christians in America. Abortion was bad enough, but partial birth abortion to me is worse, even though they both take a life. We didn't change marriage. America has redefined marriage. There's corruption in government, politics, sex trafficking. Do you realize, anybody know that there might be some here? Is that right? Really? In Sisseton, there's sexual trafficking. People promoting killing if you don't like what they stand for. I want to tell you, all lives matter.
That's right, amen.
There's ISIS happening in America. There's Supreme Court decisions that by reading the Constitution, you can't figure out how they came to them. There's family breakups, there's suicides, there's moral values and integrity. That's not important. So the question is, what do we as a body of Christ do? How do we handle it? And there are many believers who have really given up. And so the answer to getting involved is having God to wipe us all out. I don't know about you, but I really don't want judgment on my unsaved family members. Right? And so we have to look at some things and say, how do we handle this? We can't throw up our hands and give up because we're still here. We're still here. We can't expect anybody else to do it because God called us to. And so here's what I believe. I got three quick points. In a couple hours, I'll let you go. We must stand. I'm not talking against people now, okay? I'm not talking about people. God told us to love everyone, even if they make it hard. Boy, it's hard to love someone that don't agree with me. We must stand against the darkness with no compromise of the truth. I believe in many cases, churches of America has compromised truth for the expedience of being accepted. And God is talking to us about standing. Now, in the big scope of things, the big scope of things It seems that our life is just a little speck and that people can get along without us. But in God's purpose, you're here for purpose. He's designed you. He made you. He's conformed you to the day that we live in and transformed you by the renewing of your mind so that we can pick up evil. We can understand darkness. We can even, and we'll talk down the road about piercing the darkness. The Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, dominions, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness, have our loins girded about with truth, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith. Most Christians are happy with being saved. And that's great, amazing salvation. But what do you do with the rest of your body if all you have on is this helmet of salvation? There's more to being a Christian than just looking to go to heaven. Amen. There's an amazing responsibility we have. Where much is given, much is what? Required. We've been given the download of what God has. We've been blessed beyond measure. We're probably the most blessed generation that ever lived, and yet, not you folks, because you're so different, but everybody who's not here has done little with what they've been given. And so we come to a place where we understand that. Where we realize that that is true. But how many are still breathing? It's not too late. It's not too late. Colossians 1:13. Turn there with me. Don't forget this verse. Colossians 1:13. Colossians. Verse 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I was just kind of bouncing here, even though I can't bounce too much anymore. It's my sacroiliac or whatever that thing is. But as Kirk was breaking the chains, so someday I'm going to bounce again. I just got to wind up, you know, get it in gear. As Kirk was... And we were singing, breaks every chain, and realizing where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And understanding that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth you know that brings freedom. It's the truth you apply.
That's right.
So we understand the truth about being delivered from darkness. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but before I came to Christ, I was a sinner. And every one of us, to some degree, was delivered from the power of darkness. That darkness could not take hold of the Holy Spirit and keep him from setting us free through the blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. In other words, we were paid for. By the blood of Christ. We were reconciled to God. At one time we had enmity with the Father, but we were reconciled, and he is a good, good Father.
Amen.
And the price was paid for us to have the chains broke, to walk in freedom, to be set free, to be healed, to be delivered, and to walk in victory. And the key now is standing in that. Don't go back. Don't go back. It's amazing what this freedom means and how God set it up so that we could be not only free spiritually, but we could be free emotionally. The only way there's condemnation if we dig up the past and start living it again. We can learn from the past, but don't go back and live it. And walk it out in the power of the Spirit. And come to a place where we're not involved in the darkness, we're fighting the darkness. We're attacking it, we're taking it down, we're not compromising. Let me tell you something that I haven't already told you. Man's opinion of darkness doesn't matter because it doesn't affect what God knows about darkness. God knows that the darkness has come to destroy. And God understands that the darkness that America is in love with at times is from the evil one. And the purpose is to bring it down. Every single nation except America that was founded and lived for Christ and had major revivals. I love reading about the revivals. The thing I don't love is reading how they ended. Almost every one of those nations have spiritually died. But the beautiful part of it is there's a little flame coming, like Kirk was saying, some of those countries last Sunday. There's a flame arising, but it's like starting over. America has yet to learn that without God, we're a mess. And what's amazing is that many church buildings without God don't realize they're a mess. So we're called to stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Don't cower in the corner. Don't be worried that somebody's not going to like you. Don't be afraid even of laying down your life for the kingdom. And we say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about jumping into this thing wholeheartedly. I'm not talking about taking foolish chances. I'm not talking about all the stuff that some people do. I'm not even talking about protesting. I'm talking about the fact that we stand together for Jesus and what Jesus says goes.
That's right.
What Jesus says goes. And if God calls it wrong and sin, who am I to argue? Where does my opinion fit in that? Second Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people. Say this with me. I'm chosen. Oh, don't be so excited about it. I'm chosen. How many were you when you were little? Anybody been little? I was short, stocky. I wasn't fat. I was just huge. And I know when we went out to play games, anybody play baseball or football or something on Phi Ed? And I remember hearing, well, we had Dwight yesterday, you get him today. Hurt my feelings. There's no one can look at God and say, he hasn't chose me. He's called every one of us. He's chose us. His choosing and what we get from that is based on our commitment to him, our decision to him. See, I hear a lot of people talking about predestination. It's not who's predestined, it's to what have you been predestined. We've been predestined to be the children of God.
That's right, amen.
Children of God. But you are a chosen people. I love it. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Tell God he's amazing. God couldn't even hear you. Tell God out loud he's amazing. Amen. He's absolutely, wonderfully amazing. And keep in mind, he don't carry grudges. God has nothing against you. So why we're fighting and standing and calling on God to destroy darkness, he loves it. He's waiting till the church of Jesus Christ has enough umption to stand tall and be strong in the name of Jesus. Number two. We need to invade and pierce the darkness. That's a call from God. You say, well, what are you talking about? I thought this life in Christ was just about going to heaven someday. Do we realize, forgive me if I offend you, do we realize that for 30 or 40 years people have been talking to going to heaven without doing anything on earth? How many notice we're still here? Love the way you're shouting. Better say this, I love Pastor Fearing. Now, if you go out of here all complaining, then you just lied. look at Acts chapter 26 with me. I have a lot of scriptures, and that's why I'm looking at my yellow sheet. I wrote down a bunch more this morning. Acts 26, Paul's call from Jesus. Verse number 15, after Jesus had called him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light," to turn them from what?
Darkness to light.
"Darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And Paul says, "So, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to my heavenly calling. I have called you to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of sin to God." How do we do that? We do that by being on the front lines of what God is doing, and some of the front lines in our community, what's going on. How can I influence our community if I'm never involved in the community? How can I influence a chamber if I'm not involved in the chamber? How can I influence education if I stay away from it? How can I be involved in kids and stuff going on if I'm just going to hibernate and I love reading my Bible, but I can't sit for 24/7 reading my Bible and watch my town go to hell? I sat with a lady yesterday and served her communion, an older lady that hasn't been in church for a while. And she said, "I don't hear anything happening. I don't hear anything happening about these revival services and tent meetings and up at the school and stuff." And I just started telling her what's been going on with Unite. Amen for Unite, that the youth get together. I don't understand something. I don't understand why every single parent would not rather have their kids at Unite than huffing and puffing some other stuff somewhere else. Really? We can't sit on our hands, so to speak. We can't come to a place of non-involvement. We need to get out there where the darkness is. And if we disagree with something, just say, "I can't be a part of that. But I'm not going to disown the whole fellowship. I'm not going to disown the whole committee." But have we allowed political correctness to enter the church? Have we allowed where we are kind of, I don't like it, but have you ever been ashamed to be a Christian? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are we kind of peaceful coexisting with the things that devil's promoting? And I'm not just talking here, I'm talking to the church believers. Because it doesn't work. Satan doesn't want just a little bit. He wants it all. And he'll try to take your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. He'll try to take them all to hell. And you may say, "Well, he's not attacking me." Are you sure? We got to respond. We got to stand. We got to pierce. We got to confess. We got to pray. And I believe absolutely what Kirk said. We give God the options, but God wants us part of his options. He wants us standing with him. And keep in mind, we're never alone. He's always with us. And the thing we need to understand, he's already been where we're going. Wow. Don't be afraid of demons. Hello? Don't be afraid of demonic threats. Because they'll attack you when you're sleeping. They'll try to get in your dreams. You know, if Satan gives me a bad dream, I kind of get excited once in a while. It means he's nervous about something. Pray. Cover yourself with the blood. Stand. But don't back down. You know, we get the idea every once in a while, and a lot of people, and I've heard people say this, but I'm not going to testify because if I do, something worse might happen. It's just like Satan's waiting for you to testify, and then he's going to really beat the snot out of you. He wants you to testify. God wants you to testify. Because you're building faith in yourself and you're building faith in others. And the enemy is just trying to threaten you with stuff so that you don't testify. It's a bluff. How many battles has Jesus lost? Who's our general? So if the general doesn't lose any battles, we're always winners. Don't ever look at yourself as a loser. Ever. We are standing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he wins. Read the last chapter in the book or read the first chapter. He wins them all. And everything in between. Do you know something? He was a winner when he was on the cross. He was a winner when he was in the grave. So are we. Point three, and it's going to be real quick because I know it's getting close to noon and my stomach's growling. Time to demonstrate Jesus, the light of the world, to all we see. Just time. Jesus told his disciples in John 9:5, while I'm with you, I'm the light of the world. In Matthew 5, he told his disciples that they were the light of the world. I'm going to tell you something. I believe this. I probably can't prove it. But I believe the word light here is representing revelation. I believe as we shine the light of Christ that's coming through us, all around us, there's revelation taking. And that revelation are opening people's minds and hearts to Jesus Christ. That revelation is demonstrating that where they are is not the place to be, but where they're going and where the Holy Spirit is leading them, that's where they're supposed to be. Yeah. And so he says, we are the light. We are, in fact, through the Holy Spirit, the revelation of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's the Jesus they see. You are the revelation of the love, compassion, knowledge, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ. Wow. And so Jesus, as he was talking about light, said, man, don't just put it under a bushel. Man doesn't hide it. Man demonstrates it. Man shows it. Man reveals it. And so whatever we're doing, we are revealing Jesus Christ to people. Revelation. And so as you may be just visiting someone or talking with someone or just whatever you're doing, and some of you have been saying, well, where's some revelation? You're it. You're the revelation of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying area in South Dakota, Minnesota, North Dakota. And if you're going to Hawaii for Christmas, Hawaii. But if you're standing in line to vote on Tuesday, please vote. If you're doing other things, wherever you may be, you're a revelation to the people there of Jesus Christ. Let him shine. Don't be afraid. It's not a time to back in the corner and be afraid of what's going on in America. It's a time to pray for our country, vote wisely. And understand that if we let him, God will kick the doors down of every church in this nation and come in with power and glory. He will. It's up to us. The direction of our country seemingly is in the hands of a few, but it's in the hands of one and how we choose to follow. We may allow it to be in the hands of a few, but it's really only in the hands of one. Bless you. You're loved, and God has a lot of faith in you. Don't back away from it. We don't have to be obnoxious or vicious. We just speak truth. Amen. God bless you.